This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
B. Mitch Finley, 1067 The Fan. Like I just were in the sun. What a day, man. Honestly thought we'd be talking pucks. We'd be talking basketball, baseball. I do want to get to the Nats. They've won four in a row. Dylan Cruz might be hurt. A little part of me feels like it might be like, yo, Dylan, sit down for a while. You're hurt. You know what I mean? You know how that happens?
We went on a little run for a minute.
I know. Apparently, we're going to get Bobby Blanco. We need somebody to talk Nats with us tomorrow. But, B, the amount of news that has come out of these owners' meetings, and they may or may not be back in the room talking about the tush push. That's what – has Maskey updated that at all? All right, Mark Maskey. Said that they went back into the room. So they've now voted twice on 23-9, 22-10 to keep the tush push. They need 24 votes to overturn that thing. And they got damn close, but close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. A couple other things I thought were of news today. They officially passed NFL players going to the Olympics.
Yeah.
But they still have to work out the deal with the PA on that. How do you think that goes? As a former NFL PA rep.
If the league going to try to benefit off of it, the players got to benefit off of it. And the PA, gonna if they can make money, they're not going to stop it.
Do you think players, did you hear what A.J. Brown said about going to the Olympics?
He said.
He's like, I don't want to go. And he kind of blamed the media. He's like, because you guys will make it a big deal that I'm not at mini camp or training camp.
Well, think what you want to think. But if you go to the Olympics, I don't think the media really say nothing about that if you're in the Olympics.
I tend to agree.
Or maybe he's getting ahead of it because he probably feel he won't get picked anyway.
How about this could be actually fun. So for flag football in the Olympics, let's all think of a player we think would be awesome in the NFL.
Tyreek Hill.
Sure. For me,
Jefferson.
Yes. if I had to pick A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith, the Eagles' two receivers
I take
for flag football, yo, what makes A.J. Brown so dominant is his physical prowess.
Yeah.
Flag football, something else. Let's pick somebody from every – Malik Nabers, obviously. I mean, you do need defenders, though.
Hell, like, you need which guy? Jamar Chase.
Yeah.
Let's be real. Flag football is basically receivers and DBs.
Basically.
So if you got a guy who could play both ways, normally most receivers were deep. Most DBs were receivers at one point and just couldn't catch.
Right.
You know? And I'm sure some of those DBs were, some of those receivers were DBs, and they say, look, man, you catch everything you touch. We need to put you on offense.
So the LA Olympics run from July 14th to July 30th, 2028. The typical NFL calendar, training camp doesn't start till like July 27th-ish. So they can play, the NFL players can go play flag football in the Olympics. I think you're right, though. 3 years from now, 3 summers from now, I don't think A.J. Brown's getting picked. Mm-hmm. I was listening to PFT's podcast this morning, and he said something about, you know, the excitement of flag football in the Olympics and NFL players taking part of it. And I do. I think by the time we get to the finish line on this, it'll be more regular flag football players than it will NFL players. Mm-hmm. I think there'll be a handful of NFL players just to try to like add more excitement to it. But the Olympics is a worldwide thing, and mm-hmm. you know, I don't know that Devontae Smith has significant appeal in the Asian markets. You know what I'm saying? Like they might just be into the game to learn the game to begin with. But they did say something that I couldn't help but stop to think about. Imagine, like, some dude from Croatia trying to grab Lamar Jackson's flag. Like,
hey, bro, I'm going to say this. Every country I've been to, whether it's been some of these small islands, these whatever, you always see an athlete. They can find them somewhere. Like, I left here yesterday. I had to hang around and do some stuff. Then I went over to Oxon Hill High School. That was a girls' flag football clinic that I was doing with the Commanders. We weren't 15 minutes into that clinic when I had my mouth open. I was like, what the hell? Like, these young ladies were like, they were learning the flag football thing. I asked one girl, I said, you played before? She said, yep. I look at her, I said, you play wide receiver. This girl get in and out of breaks, had cuts. Like, when have you seen the team from Dallas? It's supposed to be the best flag with girls flag football team in the league. I mean, in the country.
I believe you.
This young lady who can run here, Jay, and while running, had a body over here with a girl trying to grab a flag. They were impressing the hell out of me out there. So you never know. It's going to be, can you imagine? You get one of these groups from Kenya. They don't get tired. I mean, I'm serious. You watch it. Listen, they're not going to get tired. So they're not going to be overly impressed. We play tackle football. When you put us in the flag football arena, it's not the exact same thing now. It's a little difference.
I wonder if – you tell me what you think. I think the teams that are capable of competing on an international level in flag football, particularly here in the United States, but I imagine there's Canada's got a team and Germany's got a team. Mm-hmm. Like, I imagine these are real athletes, to your point.
Yeah.
If you're going to be an international flag football team, you're practicing.
Yeah.
Like, do you think...
And probably are together all the time.
Right.
That's why when...
How many NFL players do you think really realistically get dropped into that? Because how much time are they going to devote to that?
They're not going to devote a lot of time to it, but I think they can still get out there and be effective. But I think if we're not doing it like the tackle way, it's different.
I in no way think
it's somebody in one of these countries that can run a 4.2 or 4.1, just like we got people here could do it.
Sure.
But the thing of it is, will our guys, now I know in basketball, because basketball was international and the world was getting closer, And they sent the right people in, Michael and Magic and all of them, to say, we're going to stop this crap right now.
Right.
They went with the right mindset. This is flag football. And it's not me knocking anything, but the guys that are getting paid money to play tackle football professionally, are they going to invest the same level of time to pick up the little, like, because when a guy go to grab your flag, you can't slap his hand. You can't guard the flag. But when you somebody come to tackle you, you can stiff them, you can do different things. So it's some rules that are a little different that if you've been doing this thing at the NFL level, you've been there for 8 years or maybe 5 years, and you've been doing it your whole life, are you going to be able to get away from it?
You know, there is an International Flag Football World Championships.
So they've been playing it a long time now. But now we got all of the 7-on-7, which is basically flag football.
We won the last five.
We have?
Who else has won them?
So those guys are pissed talking about they don't want NFL players coming
right.
to play.
Austria won in 2012.
Well, so now we know six of don't tell us the seventh. So you said there were seven of them and America's won five?
No. I think there were one, two, three, four, five, 11, it looks like.
And America won.
There's been 11, and the U.S. has only won five of them?
We've won six.
Six. All right.
That's a little eye-opening, right?
Did
Austria, which I would not have expected.
Spain.
No.
Germany?
No.
Australia?
Canada, yeah.
Canada's one, because they're right. They got flag football. They got Canadian rule football.
Hell, they got football, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
France?
England?
My nephew is playing in France right now.
Austria, tackle football. Canada, and France.
They got tackle football leagues in France.
Can we get odds on 2028 flag football?
Probably not, JP.
I think they'd lose all their money if they took bets on that.
Why?
Because the U.S. has to be such a heavy favorite.
Sure, but they've only won half of the international
competitions. That's because they don't have the NFL players playing in it right now.
I believe... Obviously, the NFL players make it better. Now, the dude that's like the quarterback for the top fantasy football team is like, no, it's a different game. You can't just drop in here.
Okay.
Do you believe that?
I hear him talking, but if I drop Pat Mahomes in there right now today, and I drop Jamar Chase, Neighbors, Terry, Jefferson, Devontae Smith, Tyreek, who the hell running with him all day?
So just more clarity on the World Championships. We didn't play in the first three.
Okay. So that's why those other teams won them?
Yeah, so there's six. There's six and
six
two.
Six of the eight.
Six of the eight they played.
So who won the other two? While we were playing.
I think it was Canada and Austria.
Canada and Austria, okay.
Who is currently playing flag football that is so good? You know what I'm saying?
Like who?
I think this dude, Doucette, is considered to be like the guy.
But, hey, bro, I guarantee the ones that are playing in these leagues, hell, I had someone hit me about 3 weeks ago.
But you're
ago.
Also saying when you go to these flag football tournaments no, and it's it blows
I had
your
somebody
mind.
Hit me 3 weeks ago, right, 3 months ago now, I'm not done 3 weeks, and said, let's start a flag football league. And I shoo-shooed it. Until I started looking up stuff. You know, it's a lot of damn leagues going on right now. And people go check it out. And there are parents that's pushing their kids to the flag football league, the 7-on-7 league, and not letting them play tackle football.
Right. Dude, if you told me 70 years from now, 50 years from now, that football as we know it is actually some amalgamation of 7-on-7 and flag and whatever else, like, I wouldn't be shocked by that. Like, mm-hmm. The world's going to change in ways we can't imagine, right?
You always have barbarians, though.
Ah, you're right.
Speaking of barbarians, I just sent you a picture of the assistant coach on the U.S. flag football team. That guy looks like he could kill someone.
That guy looks intense. Shout out to Patrick Alley. All right, so what? There's a
Patrick look like he's running from somebody.
Yo.
Pat look like he already committed some crimes.
All right, so the U.S. flag national team. Doug, I bet the women's team beats everybody's ass. I bet the men's team is nasty, but I bet the women's team is throttling them.
I'll tell you, bro.
I actually don't think they're quite as good as the men. I think the Mexican women's team is pretty good.
There's a team. Mm. Like, I don't think any country that's very good in soccer can probably be good at this league if you just find your quarterback. Because you watch soccer, they can stop and start at the drop of a dime.
Dude, this other picture of Patrick Alley, the assistant coach on the flag national team, is even crazier. I'll drop it in the text thread. This dude, in that one, he looks like he's like trying to kill somebody. In the one I just sent, he looks like he just ate a bag of mushrooms and is listening to the Grateful Dead for the first time. All right, so we're just going to run through the roster here. Sean Third Jr., B, he is from New Orleans.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Amir Brown from Philly. Hoosh Doucette. That's the guy that I've heard so much about. Also from New Orleans. What is...
Well, Doucette, I should have known he's from Louisiana.
So, Sean Third Jr., they list positions, and he is an RSH and a wide receiver. It's a pass rusher. So, there are linemen then, right? Are there three linemen?
No, you normally... I think you have a couple guys that can. Somebody snaps the ball, and you have to wait till you rush.
I thought you had to like give it a three count or something.
You have to give it a certain count, then you rush.
Okay. Tell you one thing that surprises me. No DMV representatives on the national team. New Orleans, Philly, New Orleans, Florida, Florida, Texas, Florida, 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 Texas, Florida, Texas. Oh, we got an alternate.
From where?
Antonio Coleman is from Prince George's County.
All right.
He might be the backup quarterback.
AC.
Jeff, you're our Prince George's County
Bureau Chief. Got to find Coleman.
Find Antonio Coleman. Where'd he go to high school?
All right, I'm going to find him.
I am sure these men are terrific at what they do, but I do think if Ja'Marr Chase says he's going to play that Amir Brown might be in trouble. But here's the other part of this, and I don't know roster sizes or anything.
10.
That's the full roster? How many people are on the field at once? 7?
5-on-5.
5-on-5. Thank you. You have to be able to go both ways if you're going to play in this league, right?
Yeah.
You think Tyreek Hill is going to line up a DB in a flag football game?
I think Tyreek Hill will run up in the league, but you know what? What he's trying to say is the guy that's been running with him all day going to be tired as hell. But I did see the little kid at Tyreek's football camp. He worked him on a route.
All right, the ladies' team. San Antonio, Jacksonville, Florida, Gainesville, Florida, Texas, Tampa, Texas, Kansas. Shout out to – hold up. This is the U.S. team. This has to be America, right? This lady's from Ottawa, Kansas. Were we aware that there's an Ottawa in Kansas? I thought Ottawa was in Canada.
They got a lot of cities named different places all over the world, though.
Texas.
There's a Rome, Georgia, right?
There's a Paris, Texas.
Yeah, I know that. I knew that one.
Ohio and West Palm. We got no DMV ladies on the team. Denver, Cali.
Hey, you're so right. Travis Hunter would be great. B, that's a good pull there. Travis Hunter would be awesome.
Champ Bailey, dude. I mean, it's probably.
You mean Champ Bailey, like when he was.
Yeah.
Not right now. No. I'm not going to let Champ play right now. I'm going to say, nah, Champ. Nah, dog. You my little bro. I got to keep you healthy.
B's, if you're listening, I want odds on 2028 flag football.
B's want odds of walking without holding them ribs right now.
I hope B's all right. I think he's actually in Vegas.
He's going to be all right.
I saw Pete yesterday.
I saw the video. He had an eagle, a natural eagle, he said.
Yeah, man, on 16. That's a hell of a... I do want to discuss the senior PGA going on at Congressional. The action starts tomorrow. I'm curious how this rain will impact it. I mean, the U.S. just like minus 10,000.
So how did the rough look when you were out there?
Like...
And if it gets wet?
I believe... I'm gonna try to say this without having to pause myself. I believe it was like 2.5-3 inches and super thick.
All right.
And once it gets wet, now the flip side of that is if the fairways are a little bit wet, you know, you take some of the firmness out, those guys can control it.
No, but
those greens will be dry.
They can still make the greens dry.
Right. The greens with the sub air will be dry in a minute. So it looks great. The grounds crew's done a great job out there. How cool would it be if Ernie Els could win there after winning the U.S. Open there almost 30 years ago?
Is the old dude playing Bernard, or did he, after the Achilles episode?
I don't believe longer.
As long as around, he always has a chance.
You remember Garrett Morrison that does all the golf stuff? So I saw Garrett over there yesterday. We're going to have him on the show to give us a little preview. My mom seems to think that the men's player that's from PG County, that I believe is an alternate, went to High Point High School. Jeff, have we confirmed anything about Antonio Coleman?
I found his page. I just hit him in the DM.
Look at Jeff sliding in the DMs.
I see it, Jeff.
Much like Mitchell Parker, we are the foremost U.S. men's flag football team radio show in the DMV.
Hell yeah.
You're damn right. Little Nats update when we come back. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Let's check in with what to me sounds like an incredibly weird scene in Minnesota at the NFL owners' meetings. Obviously, the tush push is a, I suppose, controversial play. It to me just seems like I understand. When I was at the owners' meetings in Florida in March, I think, I talked to a bunch of coaches over the course of the couple days I was there, and a lot of coaches just don't want to go on the record and say they want the play out because – one, there is a coaching fraternity, and two, they don't want it to be like, oh, we just can't beat them, so we're trying to vote them out.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand that. But there's also a reality. I think the way Green Bay proposed this thing was whack. I think it should just be that you can't push or pull a ball carrier, and that'll take care of it. And Ike Reese was on with us yesterday. Ike Reese lives in Philly, does radio in Philly, played for the Eagles.
Agreed.
He's like, man, that doesn't define the Eagles. I think this has become far too much of a specific Eagles topic.
Mm-hmm.
But the owners are going to vote on it. There's obvious support. When they decided not to vote in Florida to push it back a couple months to vote in Minnesota, that's because they knew they were close to the votes they needed, but needed a few more tweaks and changes. But Beamish, this...
And that's why they reworded the changes.
So here's my chance. Here's my real question, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey Lurie is the Eagles' managing partner. He's the Eagles' owner, right?
Mm-hmm.
He went into the meeting. That's normal. It's the owners there. Yeah. Now, sometimes you have team presidents, GMs, family members.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, I have covered a number of owners' meetings.
Yeah.
I have never seen a player going into the meetings.
Desperate.
A former player.
Well, because this is a situation where... I'm now in a situation where I am going to try to sway some people, and some people may be swayed by the former player who was in the middle of the play for years. You know what I mean? But some people may not be. They didn't have him there at the first meeting. Just like you said, the people say, okay, let's move it on. We ought to tweak some stuff. Well, now he feels I got to go with all my big guns. I got to bring anybody I can to try and get stuff back to our side. Let's be real. If they say you cannot push a player from the back, you can still run the play how you want, but you have to emphasize to that referee, if the offensive lineman are offsides, call it. If the D lineman are offside, call it. But you also cannot push somebody. And I will promise you, he doesn't get in the end zone as much as he does.
It's just bizarre. There are things in our society, for lack of a better word, that impact an incredible small minority of people or whatever, and yet they become like huge national topics.
Mm-hmm.
That is what is happening here. To me, I mean, that's what's happening with the tush push. This play exists on 0.5% of all NFL plays. And we have the news.
Yeah, but games are won like that.
Sure. Rossini just tweeted out, the Packers' proposal to ban the tush push did not receive the required 75% support from the NFL's owners to pass, per sources. The tush push remains alive.
All right.
There's
going to be some.
You think Jason Kelce got it over the finish line?
I don't know if Jason Kelce did or not, but there's going to be some serious collisions this year. Jalen Hurts needs to get ready. There are going to be people trying different ways to stop it. And as I've stated before, the initial surge is one thing. Then that second surge comes. When those two guys commit to going to him, that's when you need to commit to going right at him.
Phones are open, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. The NFL did not ban the tush push. They needed, 24 out of 32 owners to vote? I guess 25 owners?
Yeah.
They didn't get it. Rossini's reporting, Packers proposed ban of the tush push did not receive the votes required. The tush push remains. How surprised are you? Did the NFL make the right call? Or did the owners get bullied by Jason Kelce? I think
what they have to do, just go back to the rule of not pushing from the back. You can still line up the way you want, but you cannot push by a person from the back.
I got to say, I am surprised. I thought this was happening. This is a big surprise to me. 800-636-1067. This seemed like it was going down, and now it's sticking around, man. We're taking your calls. Landfill, you surprised? I thought this was going down.
I thought it was going to be banned too, yeah.
Now, apparently, Jason Kelce wanted to come in and say, because there was a myth that he suffered the injury that eventually forced him to retire, was a major core injury, and that he retired because he suffered that injury on the tush push. And apparently, per his podcast, he wanted to come clarify that that's not how he got hurt. Now, I did get a Twitter reply that was pretty interesting. It was somebody said, wait, you're telling me there's a Kelce that wants to get on camera about any national topic? I mean, good for Jeff Lurie, the Eagles owner, to... I mean, this is serious horse trading, man, to get this done. I don't know... I think you're going to see a lot more of what Luvu did. People are going to try to get creative with this thing now, especially if they're going to continue with the hard count on it, like all these sorts of things. Phone lines are open, 800-636-1067. The tush push lives. Are you shocked that it didn't get voted down? Cairo is in Ashburn. What's up, Cairo?
Hey, how's it going?
Good,
what's
up, man?
I'm not exactly shocked it didn't, because it seems like the Eagles get everything they want ever. But I was really pulling for it, and not for any like safety reason or anything like that, or pulling for it to get banned, not for any safety reason, but just because I don't like the Eagles and I don't want them to have any extra advantages. And it seems like they always do. And plus any time they get upset is like a good time for me. But it always, just in terms of like objective about it, if I can be honest, I know you don't trust the blue line on the TV, but it always seems like when they line up for it, all of the offensive linemen are in the neutral zone, and it's like the defensive linemen have to be, you know, back. And it's like, well, if you're going to do that play, then there should at least be amenities made to allow the defense to be in that same spot so that way it can be like a real rugby scrum. You know, like, let's just be fair about it at least. Because it just seems like it's tipped the scales in their favor when the defense can't really respond.
Yeah.
I mean, it's totally in their favor. I'm really pretty damn surprised this thing did not change. Apparently, Jeffrey Lurie went in there. Thanks for the call, Cairo. Well done. Hey, Cairo, real quick, how do you spell your name? Like the city?
K-H-A-I-R-O.
Cool. Jeff butchered it, but I pronounced it well. Thank you, buddy.
It's fine.
Actually, so I didn't butcher it. It's some people who spell their name like this, and it's also some people who spell it C-A-I-R-O. But I remember him using the K last time.
Right, but you didn't write
I've never seen the combination with the K N H M A I R.
You know what?
You be trying to play with me, JP, and I'm not letting you do that no more.
You spell people's names wrong,
but I didn't do it that time.
You did this time.
Go ahead.
Did you spell it right?
No, I didn't. But
that's all I'm saying.
You ain't going to keep putting me on Front Street.
800-636-1067. Tush Push, not banned. Wow. Awesome, awesome news. I don't know if you've heard this.
I already saw it.
All right. The NFC East will be featured for the in-season version of Hard Knocks this year.
Why are they doing a whole league?
They've done
the whole
that
division.
They've done that now for at least a year, I think two.
I recall last year they just talked about one team.
Last year was the AFC North. It was Bengals, Browns, Steelers, Ravens. It was all of them.
I didn't know they did all of them.
I think they do it to make it less invasive on one team, that they're not like all in on one team, that they're spread out a little bit. But dude, last year watching it was really, really good. I think you're right, though. 2 years ago, it was the Dolphins in season. But last year, they switched it to be all of a division. I think this is really, really good. You get the annual nonsensical drama of Dallas. I mean, dude, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, maybe not for the right reasons, proved to be pretty damn compelling television. Philly, Sirianni will be crying. Somebody will be fighting, you know what I mean? And then just to get to watch the Commanders up close and see and learn more about how they operate. Like, you've got a defending champion, the two teams that were in the title game, for better or worse, a team that too many people care about in the Dallas Cowboys. I think this is really, really cool.
We'll see.
Do you see any drawbacks to it?
Nah, not really. I don't think they're gonna give them anything much.
The cameras are there. Like they're
there, but they also get some say on what's shown.
Sure.
And I think they're gonna show class. So I'm cool with that.
What about the boys in the aquarium? Brian typically reacts pretty middle of the road to most things. I think this is dope. I think this is exciting. Jeffrey, what about you?
Yo, I'm actually excited. Like, for once, the Commanders are being thought of for things for the entire league and for the entire world to see. Like, I hate to bring the Madrid trip up, but like 3 years ago, if they said, yo, we thinking about sending somebody to Madrid, Commanders wasn't getting picked. Even when Hard Knocks started, they wasn't thinking about the Commanders. I'm excited for this. It gives.
Yeah, we were on it because it was the Texans or the
they were on it. The one big fight was the Texans.
Texans, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So it's
and
like,
then they were on it 2 years ago, which was really tough. The last year of Ron, when the Dolphins came to town, they showed the Dolphins game planning for the Commanders defense and just knowing they were gonna go deep to Tyreek off the break. I'm with you, Jeff. I think this is exciting. I think it's more access to a team. Even like, it's not all strategy. Some of the cool stuff of Hard Knocks is just showing dudes like messing around in the locker room, like how they interact and are teammates. And I think fans will enjoy that. White Brian, as a Giants fan, are you terrified that Brian Daboll and Joe Shane will again be on television talking strategy?
Yep, 1,000% terrified. It went terrible the last time.
Landini, the chief BS officer, what do you make of this?
I think it's cool. Hard Knocks has been around for like 20 years at this point, and the Commanders have never been on it. I get this isn't really the training camp version, which is what I would prefer, but I still think it'll be pretty cool.
I think it's cool. I think the in-season is cooler than training camp. Training camp, like, we've all watched the training camp version of Hard Knocks enough that we know kind of the formula to it. There's obviously the stars, and then there's the coaches, and then they kind of zero in on a couple guys that are, like, you know, long shots to make the roster. As far as, like, what matters to a team, a lot of that doesn't matter all that much. The in season, week to week to week, and maybe, you know, 1 week it's more Giants, Eagles, 1 week it's more Cowboys, Commanders. Like, it kind of varies over the course of the season. But, dude, I mean, think about this late in the year when they play four straight NFC East games to close out the season. Like, now you're seeing everything after the fact, but I think that'll be just really, really great television. Like, imagine the Hard Knocks of the Christmas game against the Cowboys. I'll open 800-636-1067. If anybody wants to call in, I would imagine. Is anybody upset by this, you think?
Yeah, put it out there.
So our guy Tay, we love Tay, he replied to me, damn, did we really have to share the spotlight? I think we got to relax with the too much or too little. They have 10 national television games. That's a lot. They're going to Europe. They're playing on Christmas. Two Monday nights, two Sunday nights. They don't do in season on one team anymore. They changed that. And I'd rather have the in season than the training camp version. Maybe people would rather have the cameras all to themselves, but I don't know, man.
You know, fans have their different mindsets.
800-636-1067. For all the folks who've been talking about heart.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new Spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
Hard Knocks forever is here. I think this is really dope. I pay more attention to that one because what happens with Hard Knocks is kind of the same thing as what happens with preseason. The first preseason game, everybody's excited. Then you kind of realize, like, oh, man, it's preseason. You're not that excited. The first Hard Knocks, you're all fired up. Then, like, two Hard Knocks in, you're like, oh, man, can we just watch a regular season? This is the regular season. Like, this is the real deal, and I think it's quite exciting.
Now, do you know if the in-season one, the episodes, they all come out after the season is over, right?
No.
Oh,
It's a week later.
Oh, really?
So, like, week one Hard Knocks will drop during week two.
Oh, nice.
It's not like a binge watch at the end of the year. It's happening in real time, for lack of a better word, but not until the game is finished.
That's great.
Dude, last year, I mean, it was really pretty riveting watching Bengals, Steelers. I'm going to hit some of these phones. John is in Haymarket. John, you fired up for in-season Hard Knocks?
What's up, guys? Absolutely not.
Really?
Hard Knocks is the most played-out thing the NFL has to offer. It's the same sale stuff every single year.
But not the in-season, because it's different every year.
It's just, okay, it's just a new time frame on the stuff.
Like, no, it's not.
It's stale.
Because there's games that happen, and you see the outcome.
It's stale.
You're stale. Thanks for the call.
You're stale.
Then why you get mad when people have an opinion opposite of yours?
I don't think that's fair.
He says stale.
Call back.
He don't like it.
Call back. Stale. Call back, John. If you want to say Hard Knocks, the preseason Hard Knocks is stale, I think you have a real argument. If you want to say it about the in-season product, frankly, I don't think you watched it. I really don't, because it was way better than the preseason. The preseason one, by the way, we haven't even said this, is going to Buffalo. So you want to watch the Mafia jump around, some Josh Allen, fire away. My man Julio is in Greenbelt, if I can get this to work.
Julio, gentlemen,
you fired up for in-season Hard Knocks?
No, I'm not. I get the content value of it. I think it'd be better. But do I want my team a whole exposed during the season? You know what I'm saying? And we on a run to go somewhere? Nah, that's a bad idea. I understand what you're saying. Would it make for better content? Yeah, but nah, I don't want the Commanders to get that attention. We might be on a run. I don't want that. I think that's a bad idea. Bad idea. That's my take, fellas.
Okay. I handled that one better, B.
Yeah. Kind of.
Julio, you still there? So here's my question to the folks worried about, like, giving away strategy or something. One, it comes out the week after the game. So, like, the first in-season Hard Knocks probably doesn't happen until, like, week four or something. Mm-hmm. Because they have to kind of build the content up. And the teams have final say and approval. So, like, if Dan Quinn or Cliff Kingsbury or Joe Witt is like, yo, don't put that in there, they won't put it in there. Now, if you're White Brian and you saw the Giants make fools of themselves on the offseason one, maybe you question how good they are at censoring their content. But I think these guys are going to be really good at censoring the content.
All right.
Gerald is in Woodbridge. Gerald, you fired up about in-season Hard Knocks?
Hey, man, that's really going to be like that, man. I saw the in-season one with the AFC North, and, like, man, they showed that game, the Cleveland-Pittsburgh game in the snow. Man, that joint was like that, man. And just seeing how, you know, the NBA season and everything like that, man, it was really cool, man. I really enjoyed it, man. So, you know, that stale guy in the beginning, man, he need to go somewhere. Thanks, though.
Thank you, Gerald. Appreciate you, dude. No offense to the dude that thinks it's stale. I think that dude hasn't watched in-season. The in-season product is very different and really, really good. He was right. The Browns-Steelers game in the snow, I think it was Browns-Steelers, maybe it was Browns-Ravens, was awesome. I'm gonna see again a few more of these calls just because it's breaking news and I like getting live reaction. I think this is Mark in Landover Hills. Mark, what do you think? In-season Hard Knocks for the NFC East.
Buddy. JP, I hate to burst your balloon, buddy, but I got to agree with Mr. Mitchell, man. JP, if somebody doesn't agree with you, buddy, you tend to fly off on a tangent, and I wouldn't give you a nickel for all of it, buddy. I hate to tell you that, man.
That's fine. I tried to be better with the second guy.
And, man, J- JP, please, man, give people a chance to talk, buddy. When you show good can.
That was not me that hung up, Mark.
Yeah, that was me. Get to the point next time.
That was landfill.
I just got a call. We're not supposed to hang up on callers. I got an email saying that.
That wasn't for that.
I'm just saying.
Chris is in Culpeper.
Stop hanging up on people.
Mark in Landover Hills, I did not hang up on you, and we're running very late, so it's a good time to get to
and
the
again,
point.
I'm going to get straight to the point.
Fire away.
I think it's a horrible idea. I don't really think it's great content. Did you say it's during the season?
Yes.
Well, I mean, we watched the game on Sunday. I'm not really worried about, like, I don't really understand. What are they just going to sit in a room and say, hey, it's Tuesday, let's talk about the practice?
Dude, they also show, like, dope highlights of the game. They have
I can get that on anything, but I'm not being a smart
You can't
smart
get this
like,
on anything. There's a reason they give these cameras significant access. You can't
well,
get this on anything.
There's a reason why 4 out of 5 people just don't really, really enjoy it. And I don't – I mean, it's just – I just think it's kind of dumb. I mean, just – I don't really think it – it provides provides content. But is it really real? Like, they're not going to give you anything. What's going to be going on with the game plan? You're just going
to
hear
extra mics on the sideline is definitely real. But you know what? You're entitled to your opinion, sir. I hope
and
you
I, and
don't
I appreciate
watch.
You,
it.
And I appreciate you letting me speak the whole time. I didn't want to get cut off. So you're the man,
all right,
Brian.
Man.
You're the man. Y'all the man.
All right, this might have to be the last one. Seneca's in Laurel. Seneca, in season Hard Knocks. You fired up?
I'm very fired up, JP. How's it going, JP? B. Mitch, how the guys? Jeff.
We're
you know,
good, man. Why do you like it?
I love it. JP, I was in San Diego for 2 years, you know, living there, going to Winston's bar on the beach, and we watched every game. We watched this whole thing rise up from nothing to something amazing. I want everything we deserve, just like Chiefs fans get, just like Eagles fans. Give us the exposure. I'm tired of this Redskins Commander's fear of success. I'm ready to embrace it, man. Whether it's bad or a good product, I'm going to watch every episode. And I'm going to enjoy it. And I hope you guys get on, too, because you've led the way for many years. Thank you, guys. Have a great time.
Thank you, buddy. All right, we got to take a quick break. We are quite late. We're going to make some bets when we return in season Hard Knocks. I'm a little surprised at the split reaction here, but that's why live radio when news happens is the best. Nobody go anywhere. B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. About 25 minutes, we'll be joined by A.J. Perez. But, B, you were on your golf trip out west when the NFL schedule dropped last week. It's obviously, you know, one of those really exciting times.
Yeah.
I kind of think we should start way back on this thing. It came out it kind of came out when we were all down in Florida for NFL league meetings that the Commanders were going to do joint practices with the Patriots. Mike Vrabel, Patriots head coach, confirmed that today, speaking in Foxborough at New England OTAs. That game is scheduled for Friday, August 8th.
Mm-hmm.
And my guess is those practices will be, so 7th will be an off day, 4, 5, 6, or at least 5 and 6. August 4th, 5th, and 6th, or August 5th and
6th. Mm-hmm. Probably 2 days.
Which should be some good work. It'll be really interesting to kind of watch. Washington's a team that overachieved last year, at least compared to expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot of conversation that thinks there could be a similar path for New England this year, especially with Vrabel there. A really,
you can see how that team is run now with Vrabel compared to the last time they came in practice against this team.
Yeah. I mean, having Brady on the field was a –
it was totally different.
That was wild. That was varsity versus JV. Week 2 of the preseason is pretty juicy, man. Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, the Bengals. Week 2 is generally where you see your starters for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Monday nighter, 8 o'clock. And then the last preseason game of the year is going to be against the Ravens. I think it's still unclear if there will be a joint practice with that. But I think there's some expectation there could be.
Could be.
Does that sound right?
Yeah, I agree.
And then we're off and running, B. We'll start with just the first little stretch here of 4 games.
Mm-hmm.
They open with the Giants at home Sunday, 1 o'clock. You're not going to hear a whole lot of Sunday, 1 o'clock with the schedule.
They need to make a statement in that first game.
I'd almost expect them to. I think the Giants are going to be a lot better. I think Russ Wilson's going to be their quarterback, at least then. But Washington's coming off a really good season, and they added a lot offensively. I think that's a statement-making game. I think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Week two, short week. If you got to have a short week, don't you think it's advantageous to have it the second week of the year?
Yeah.
Like, you're not beat up.
They come out because you're not beat up. You get that week in between.
Right.
So you come out fresh, and then guess what? You have another 10 days for the next game.
Right. Between September 1st and September 21st, that's 3 weeks, Washington plays three games. Because the NFL smartly punted on Labor Day weekend, punted on that fourth preseason game. That fourth preseason game, good God, that was tough. Then they're home for the Raiders. Raiders are a totally different team, B.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Carroll, Geno Smith, Ashton Gentry. Still, though, if you're Washington, you got to like the way things open up anyway.
Yeah. I think it gives them a chance, you know, to fill things out while still improving.
Now, going to Green Bay is a very difficult game.
It's true, but not you don't have to hit the ground completely running.
Two of your first three are against teams that were under 500 last year.
Yeah.
And they're at home.
But I think watching this team, watching how Dan does stuff, they don't care that those teams are under 500. This team doesn't prepare according to what you did. It prepares according to what they need to do.
So I saw DQ at rookie mini camp, and I guess it was right before the schedule release.
Mm-hmm.
And I joked with him. I was like, man, you better get ready for a lot of night games. He's like, yeah, dude. You know, I think when he was coaching in Dallas is always in prime time.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, he's like, it's a mindset for us. Anybody, anywhere, anytime. And I think that rings really true.
Yeah.
For how they approach things.
That's how you got to approach it.
Week four, I think this one could be an excellent football game. They played week 16 or 17 last year, and it was an excellent football game. Commanders going to Atlanta, Jaden versus Michael Penix. Penix, you know, firmly installed now as the Falcons starting quarterback. Is that a sneaky game to you, going down to the ATL?
I view this team differently now. I don't see them really getting overly hyped or underhyped by any team coming in. They just know that they got to improve themselves. And if you think back to last year when they start the first game, they lost to Tampa, but ultimately you saw there was things that you can take from that game and say, okay, they still did this okay. You know, Jaden didn't get rattled. You know, he did some things he didn't do as the year went on. But I think when they go down there, they're going to be ready to play.
I think the second half of week two is when Jaden was like, all right, I'm good. But if you go watch the second half of week two against the Giants last year is when he really settled in. And to think that it required him 90 minutes of professional football to figure that out. Mm. I also think that Atlanta game, I want to credit the right people. I think where I'm seeing this from anyway is the Commanders squad based in Charlotte that they are putting together a Commanders takeover in Atlanta. And I've worked enough Commanders games in Atlanta. Anytime Washington's playing in the Southeast, Charlotte, Atlanta, Tampa.
People find a way down there.
There's a lot of people that are there. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people have been re-engaged since last
year. I think it's a ton of
those. And I mean, that stadium is, what, 65,000 people or something? I bet at least a third of it is going to be burgundy and gold.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one's going to be fun. I also looked this up. The day before in Athens, Georgia's hosting Bama.
Oh, you're going early.
Which, if you're looking for a college game to try to go to.
That'd be a good one.
Drew might be able to get tickets for that. So, now, that is the first of back-to-back roadies, though.
I can let you know, if I were to go down there early, I'm not going to try to go sit no game all day. I will be going to swing them.
I figured you would.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's at Atlanta, then at L.A. One thing I wanted to ask you about, that's a tough stretch. I think the Chargers are going to be a tough matchup there. It's back-to-back road trips. You're going out west. And I just think the way they run the ball and have really good edge rushers, I think that's a game I'm really excited to see.
I'm excited because it'll tell us a lot about where they are.
Sure.
When it comes down to the run defense, like they said they want to improve it, and we're going to see where they are.
So here's my question for you then.
Mm-hmm.
We've arrived. Well, one thing we know last year from folks talking, honestly, during while we were there and then later, is the trip from Cincinnati to Arizona meant a lot to this team.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan Quinn has made it clear he'd like to do training camp on the road, but it's not going to happen this year. They're going to have these joint practices against New England and then maybe joint practices against the Ravens, but it's not going to be 3 weeks away as a team.
Yeah.
Based on all that, I think it's possible, if not likely, if not highly likely, honestly, that they do a practice week on the road. And if you just look at the time of the year, last year the Cincy to Arizona trip was week 3 to week 4.
Mm-hmm.
This year, if you're looking week 4 to week 5 at Atlanta and then the following week at LA, there's one big difference that the current week 4 Atlanta game is scheduled for Sunday at 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
Whereas that was a Monday nighter and then you're flying.
That's why I had this conversation yesterday. And I was like, I think the fact that it's a Sunday, that gives them time to come back here, do stuff, then possibly still go earlier. But I don't know about going straight there.
Yeah, I mean, you could fly out like Tuesday.
Yeah.
There are a few of those scenarios. There's also, they have week 7 and 8, they're at Dallas and then at Kansas City. But similarly, Dallas is a Sunday, 4 o'clock, and then the Kansas City game's a Monday nighter. Like, yeah, granted, Dallas and Kansas City are closer, but you'd be out there a full week.
Yeah.
I don't. The other one I wonder is, everybody's aware of the Madrid game. So they play the Lions Sunday, November 9th. That's a 4:30. That's a national Fox game, right? Then they play Miami in Madrid the following Sunday.
Yeah.
Maybe Tuesday's your travel day to Europe, and then you're there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday?
I will say yes. Let's do that.
I'm sure you would. There is a longer trip coming for this team somewhere, is what I believe.
Well,
I don't know exactly where you're located.
I think going to Madrid, you're going to be there some days. You're not going over there the day before, 2 days before. That's going to be at least a 3-4 day trip. I would just think going from West Coast to East Coast, you know, it's one thing. That's 4 or 5 hours difference.
Six hours.
You go into a different area as well. So I think, yes, they will be over there, I would think, at least 4 or 5 days.
I think because they play Detroit at home, and you're probably 4:30 game, by the time guys are leaving the stadium, it's 9 o'clock, 8:30. Let them sleep at home, watch tape in Ashburn the following day. And, like, they don't have to travel like we have to travel. Maybe they fly over. Typically going to Europe, you fly overnight. But the way they're going, maybe you just fly Monday, and then the guys get a full day off Tuesday to get acclimated and everything. And then practice your normal 3 days leading up into the Dolphins game. Mm. I don't know. I don't know what the practice facility situation is in Miami. I'm sorry, in Madrid.
Mm.
I bet the NFL's got to figure it out.
Before they announced it, they already know all that. They know the logistics.
Right.
Yeah.
And whatever the practice facility is, it'll be available if you want to come Friday, which has kind of become the norm, at least with the London games. You can come over Thursday night. If you want to be there Thursday or Wednesday, they'll be there too. Did you go to the London game? Do you remember where they practiced? And it was a walkthrough. It was hardly a practice.
This year?
No. When the Redskins played in London.
The time I went, I remember.
That's what I'm asking. Did you go to that practice?
When they played?
Yes.
I'm talking when I played?
You played a preseason game.
Yeah,
there, right?
Preseason game. So I didn't go to the regular season game.
Did you guys practice or anything there?
Yeah, we practiced. We were there for some days, man.
This practice field, when the Skins went there, was a rugby club,
mm-hmm.
but it was kind of like a social club. Like, I don't think it was a professional rugby team.
Well,
dog, there were just kegs all over the practice, like off to the side of the practice field, just empty keg.
Better make sure they're empty before some of these players step up. But the thing of it, all the fields are soccer fields. They're completely flat.
Yeah, they're big.
No, they're flat. They don't have the crown like a football field does. And it affects that. It affects people. I think when you run around on the football field so often, you forget that it's crowned. And when you get on the flat field, you'll see the ball is a little, it's not the same height as when you're getting it on the football field. Takes some getting used to.
Sure. I kind of skipped around there trying to investigate where the road trip will come. Do you think it's possible they only do?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new Spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
The one long one for the Madrid game?
Mm-hmm. No, that's going to be so late in the season. I think they're going to get
one. That's what I wonder too.
They'll get one prior. The Madrid game is its own entity. It's completely different than the rest of the games.
Agreed. I'm keeping an eye on the Atlanta into L.A. stretch. I don't know what will happen. After that, you get the Bears Monday night. Zero surprise to me that after the Hail Mary last year and the attempts at manufacturing a Caleb Jayden rivalry, that's a Monday nighter.
Yeah.
That is now 3 years in a row.
And have they come here every time?
Yes.
Yeah.
3 years in a row coming here. Remember, 3 years ago, 27-3 at halftime after the Bears hadn't won a game in a calendar year. That was the day Dick Butkus died. Last year was a Hail Mary. I mean, who the hell knows what we'll get week 6 Monday night?
We don't know.
I also think there's a little bit, and nobody it might not even be a topic by week six of this year. But like the way Ben Johnson handled his interview process, we'll say, with Washington, and now he's going to be bringing that team in as the head coach of the Bears. Nice little subplot. Interesting little subplot.
Yeah, a little subplot, but that'd be cool.
Then at Dallas, at Kansas City. That Kansas City game's going to be nuts.
Yes, Monday night, will be.
Mahomes, Kelsey, Taylor Swift.
Barbecue.
I mean, all of it. We should get a table at Q39 right now.
We'll call Andy and get that done.
Seattle for some, dude, they have.
You think he'll talk to us that week?
I'll let you handle that.
I'll try.
Well, they don't play till Monday night, so maybe we get them the week before.
Get them on that Friday.
They have a Monday night game at home and two Sunday night games at home. And a Christmas Day against the Cowboys. Like, everything has changed so dramatically for the Burgundy and Gold that, like, they've put a lot of money, time, and effort into Northwest. It's still a 30-year-old stadium that's not in, like, a downtown desired location, and they're getting all the primetime games now.
Yeah. It's not about the stadium. It's about the product on the field. And I think they've made it to where when you got certain angles, camera angles hitting, they've spruced it up a bit. But that thing was not very sprucey.
Not a lot of spruce. Spicy. No spruce goose. When we return, AJ Perez, Front Office Sports, has been a key figure in this Brett Favre documentary. I can't wait to hear what this thing's going to look like. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley. High noon in the District of Columbia, and it's time to get to the Rude Guest Hotline. Excited to talk to our friend Mark Zuckerman from Masson Sports. Zuck, I imagine it was a fun weekend. Sweep at Camden Yards, one of the best parks. Great weather. I mean, I think it was good weather. How much did the Nats need the three-game sweep over the Orioles?
Yeah, well, JP, it was a fun weekend for anybody who was affiliated with the Nationals. Sure, most of the people at Camden Yards were not enjoying that this weekend because of what was going on with the home team. But, they needed it. It was like this perfect alignment of the stars that a struggling team faced an even more struggling team that hit rock bottom and took advantage of it. And while, you know, nobody feels good about what's happening with the Orioles, if you're the Nationals, you have to be able to do what they did. You take care of business against a team that's down that hard at that point, and they did it emphatically. You know, when you're up 7-0, two innings in back-to-back days, you're doing something right. They needed that, and now the question is, can they keep it going? Because the competition is going to get a whole lot stiffer here this week with the Braves and the Giants coming to town.
Obviously, I want to keep talking about the Nats, but are you surprised just at how poorly it's going for the Orioles?
Yeah, I think everyone is. I don't think anybody could have foreseen it being this bad. Maybe you thought, okay, they could take a step back, and maybe they didn't make the moves this winter that a lot of people hoped they would to bolster that roster. But, I mean, they've got, I think, the fourth worst record in the league and in the majors right now. That's pretty shocking. I don't think anybody saw it falling apart to that extent. But it's a bad situation, and it's funny. They were in D.C. late last month, and in talking to their people who cover the team, there was already concern then, and some of them saying, like, I don't know if they're going to get out of this thing. And I was like, come on, it's too early. They're going to be fine. No, they definitely sensed it. There was something wrong there, and, yeah, it's performance, but it seems like also within the clubhouse it just has not been a great situation, and a lot of fingers being pointed at this idea of that they didn't go and bring in outside experienced veterans who not only could help them on the field, but help those young guys within the clubhouse. A lot of these kids are struggling for the first time, and they don't have anybody to turn to kind of help them get through it. To make the comparison to the Nats, like, who is their Jason Worth right now?
Yeah.
To kind of is that proven winner who's helping the rest of them get through all this, and it seems like they don't have that.
That's a great reminder of Worth's value here. I'm talking with Mark Zuckerman. You can watch his work on Masson Sports. You can give him a follow at Mark Zuckerman. MassonSports.com is where all of his written stuff is. And then you can check out the Nats Chat podcast. So like you said, The Nats go up to Baltimore, get the series sweep. Then it's going to get hard again. The Braves just took 2 out of 3 from them. They've got the Braves coming to town tomorrow night for a 3-game set. Then it's the Giants for the weekend. I imagine those Giants games will be big. This seems like it'll be a big crowd week at Nats Park with, the Braves fans, obviously, and then Giants fans, too. Are they expecting full, maybe even sellouts for these?
Yeah, I haven't heard numbers or anything, but I would imagine a weekend series against the Giants, Memorial Day weekend, and I think good weather from last I checked, that should do well for them. And, there's been this thing this year where they've actually, I feel like, done better against some of the better competition. It's almost like they're rising to the occasion as opposed to playing the lesser teams. So maybe playing in front of 30,000, 35,000, a lot this week could be good for them and kind of give a boost to the young guys. But I mean, it's an important week. And I'm not saying they got to go out and, win 4 out of 6 or anything like that, as great as that would be. But just to show that what we just saw this weekend, especially from an offensive standpoint, that just wasn't a one-off, that it wasn't just a case of playing the Orioles, that there could actually be something there. I mean, they hit 5 home runs yesterday, something they hadn't done since the end of the 2023 season. They scored early. They scored often. This has been a real point of emphasis from Davey Martinez. Get to the opposing starter, play from out in front, because it makes such a difference for your own pitcher. You're not feeling like you're chasing them the whole way. I mean, they've done a good job of rallying late and often pulling it off in the 7th, 8th, 9th innings, but it's hard to do that every night. It makes it such a difference when you're playing out in front, even if it's only, a run or two. It doesn't have to be 7. So let's see if they can continue that this week and try to set the tone a little early.
Yeah, sure. I think it's going to be really interesting to see if the Nats can use the series sweep to kind of reset, because they were playing pretty good baseball, and then they went on that eight game losing streak, right? And
yeah,
that just kind of, when you lose 8 in a row like that, it just takes off the positive momentum in a major way. So what is kind of the key, especially with Atlanta playing a lot better, to putting some W's up in that series before the Giants get here?
Well, yeah. So what you saw in that Braves series when they faced them in Atlanta last week, and they lost 3 out of 4, was this same thing I was just talking about, where they are not scoring runs until late in the games. They went through 8 straight games where they did not score more than 2 runs off an opposing starter on any given night. You just can't do that. Now, again, you don't have to score 7, but you got to try to put something together and put together quality at bats early in games. And when you get a chance with runners in scoring position, it just takes one hit to convert that. And it just changes the tenor, I think, of the whole game. So you start with that. And then to finish it, and I know the bullpen has been the number one problem area for them this season, but kind of quietly, that group has gotten stabilized here in the last, week to 2 weeks. And while it may not be a world beater and the best bullpen in baseball or anything like that, they are giving them a chance most of the time. And in these games that they're winning, it's usually on the strength of, multiple scoreless innings from the bullpen. So if you can score a couple runs early, your starting pitching has been solid. And now you get to the 7th and you've got a 2-run lead, something like that. I think they're better positioned to close out those kind of games than they were earlier in the year, when you're just holding your breath every time Davey signals out there to bring somebody in, believing that the odds of them actually pulling it off were pretty slim.
Certainly. Talking with our friend Mark Zuckerman here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. Give Zuck a follow at Mark Zuckerman, Zuckerman. I was at an event last week, Mark, where I got to meet James Wood's father. I believe I've met him before, but what a pleasant guy he is. And one thing that stands out to me is James seems so quiet and reserved, but his father was like a gregarious, like interesting fellow. How is he doing for a lot of these guys, they got called up and they've been in the bigs, but this is their first year like doing it for a full season. We're now I don't know. I mean, mid-May, we're fully into the baseball season now. This isn't the first week, the first month, any of that. How do you think they're, like, acclimating, starting with Wood? Obviously, yeah, he's hitting well.
Well, first of all, Kenny Wood is a delight. He's a former basketball star in Richmond. So, I mean, he knows, you know, the spotlight. And, you know, they raised James really well. He's such a polite kid and maybe doesn't have the big personality, but he is an intense competitor when he's out there on the field. What we've seen from him so far is a 22-year-old with still less than a full year in the big leagues who has the approach at the plate of a seasoned veteran. He takes his walks. He doesn't chase that much. And he hits the ball. I mean, he hits the ball as hard as almost anybody in the sport, but he hits it hard to the opposite field. All but a couple of his home runs are to left field, left center field. That's his natural swing to do that. I mean, there are very few players in baseball who have that kind of approach. And one of the few that I can think of, and it's a valid comp right now, is Juan Soto. So for James Wood to be in that conversation at 22, to have a similar kind of approach and patience at the plate and ability to hit the ball hard like that, it shows you how the sky's the limit. And what James has that Juan maybe didn't really have is that he also runs the bases extremely well. And so he's like a serious threat to have a 30-30 season, or maybe if he keeps it up, maybe even an outside shot at 40-40. That's a remarkable thing for a guy who's 6'7". He's got the full package.
It's crazy to watch him. I saw him, this is probably a couple weeks back, but the way your brain is, you might know exactly what I'm talking about. He hit a ball that looked like a double play. Like, it looked like a double play all day. And shortstop gets the second, and then Wood beat out the throw. And he got bobbled a little bit, but it was one of those things where I'm watching this kid because he's getting hit for power, and I want to watch every at-bat. But all the little stuff is done really well, I think, as a hitter and as a runner, and it's really encouraging. The other, like, kind of the Nats are promoting this trio of young, maybe it's four. Abrams playing great also. I know you had an article on Massive Sports about kind of the start to the season CJ's had.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, we know last year he had a great first half. He's an all-star. It looks like this is his big breakthrough. And then he struggled bad in the second half of the season. I'm just talking about on the field at this point.
Right.
And then you get to the end of September, and he ends up being demoted for the final week of the season, not for his on-field performance, but for his off-the-field stuff and getting caught out of the casino in Chicago early in the morning. So there was pressure on him coming into this year. I thought it was kind of the number one question mark and maybe the biggest issue facing the team is, how is he going to bounce back from this, both the on-field performance and just how does he conduct himself? And from day one of spring training, he has done everything that you could want him to do. He's been, you know, great, and as far as we know, not getting into any kind of trouble. But beyond that, he is playing at that all-star level again in all parts of his game. That's really important. He is supposed to be one of the faces of this rebuild. And you can see that he is, again, hitting for power, running the bases well, playing a good shortstop. In that game yesterday, he hits two homers. He hits the very first pitch of the game for a home run off Zach Eflin, just like silencing the crowd immediately. So you set the tone with that. He hits another one his next time up. It's the second inning. But I think he was most excited, to be honest, about the final play of the game, a tremendous double play that he started and Luis Garcia turned to end the game. He was as fired up about that as anything. And I think it's there's a little metaphor in there that I wrote about today that the start of the game, yeah, that's great, just like the start of the season is great. But his number one goal this year is not how he starts it, how he finishes it, because he knows last year did not end well. So to end the game spectacularly, I think he's thinking in those same terms about how he wants this whole season to play out. He wants people to remember how he ends it, not just how he starts it.
If you want to read Mark's article, I just retweeted that. CJ Abrams started yesterday's game with a bang, but the spectacular play he made to end the game speaks to the larger story about 2025. I think it's really well done, really well written. You can check it out at Masson Sports, or you can follow Mark at Mark Zuckerman, joining us via the Rude Guest Hotline. So I've heard the highlight now like four times because our guys have been playing it in the updates. Cruz obviously had the big bop yesterday. Where are we at with Dylan? Because I think for this team to really matter going forward, I think a number of things have to change and they got to spend more money, but I think you need Cruz to be in this Abrams Wood discussion about potential all-star players.
Yeah, he's supposed to be part of this in a big way, of course. When you have the number two pick in the draft and use it on him, and he probably would have been the number one pick if not for his LSU teammate Paul Skeens, there's a certain standard that you're expecting from him. Now, he hasn't met it yet, at least offensively, and he's still got to find some plate discipline, recognition of pitches. I mean, he chases a lot of slop off the plate, and that's something he's going to have to figure out because teams know it, and they're giving him a lot of that stuff. They don't give him a lot of fastballs to hit. So that's a big step for him. Now, I mean, he crushed it yesterday, three-run homer. He has moments. You can see it's in there. It's just a matter of finding some consistency. But as I've said to others, the thing that stands out that impresses me most about him is, in spite of the offensive struggles, he has played a tremendous outfield, whether in right or in center, because he's played a decent amount of center as well. He's one of their best base runners, one of the most efficient and, at base stealing. And he's such a mature kid that, again, at such a young age, hasn't even been in the big leagues for a full year. To be able to separate those parts of your game, to not take your offensive struggles out in the field with you, that's the kind of stuff that even veterans don't often do very well. So I think that bodes well for him. Now, yeah, he's still got to, you know, perfect the art of hitting big league pitching, and that's a lot of work, and there's no guarantee it's going to happen. But the other parts of his game, he's still contributing to them in meaningful ways, even if he's not delivering at the plate the way they would hope he would.
Landfill is our producer, and he's a notorious hater. I want to preface this by saying that. Landfill thinks Cruz might be better served if he was in AAA, like learning better pitching. I can't imagine he's the only person that thinks that. I do not. I like that they're like, nope, he's in the bigs. He's in the bigs for good. But he is hitting 190. Is that at all a conversation? I mean, O's had to do that with Holiday, I think.
Right. And so I don't sense that it's a serious conversation yet. That doesn't mean that it can't get there. And this is why, look, last year everybody was screaming, hey, why are you calling up James Wood? He's tearing it up at AAA. When are you going to call up Dylan Cruz? And they waited with Wood in particular until July. And whether that had anything to do with it or not, I mean, he has looked ready for the big leagues ever since he got here, and maybe that little extra time paid off. Did they rush Cruz? He didn't have dominant numbers at AAA, but again, they knew he came from a big-time college program, very mature, and they felt like, hey, we want to show everyone we're ready to take that next step. Here's the new young core of the Nationals, and Cruz is such a big part of it. And what they said coming into this year was, they didn't want him looking over his shoulder. They didn't want him thinking about, well, if I struggle for a few weeks, I could go back down. And Mike Rizzo hates sending down a prospect. When he calls him up, he sometimes will wait to call a guy up. But his attitude is, when I call him up, I want to know that he's going to stay here forever and never have to go back down again. So the mindset with Cruz was, hey, don't worry about any of this. You're getting your 600 at-bats in the big leagues no matter what this year. And maybe if the team's struggling, that kind of helps allow them to do that. And it's not like life or death costing them games in a pennant race. But at some point you do have to actually perform. And if it becomes obvious that he's not getting it done at this level and needs to work on specific things, you may have to make that move. I don't think they're there yet. Let's check back in a few weeks or a month and see if there's some progress, but it's not out of the question to at least consider that possibility. I will say that.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like if he's still is hitting like this and we get to July or something, at some point you don't want to break a kid's confidence either. I want to zoom out a hair, Zuck, and just kind of look at MLB across the country. Cubs are playing really good baseball. Did we expect that?
They had some expectations. Kind of went through the rebuild similar to the Nats and have a better young core now, and they did go and do some things this offseason that the Nats did not do. And so there was some optimism. I don't know if it was quite this much, but I think good on them for recognizing that the NL Central was kind of wide open, that the Cardinals were taking a step back and kind of trying to rebuild themselves. So that was, I think, a calculated move on their part, and so far it's paid off. And, you know, I think it's good for baseball when the Cubs are good, for one thing. But you look at the National League as a whole, there's like seven or eight teams that look really good right now. Four out of the five in the West. It's not just the Dodgers. The
Padres Giants, are
the Padres,
awesome.
The Diamondbacks. Yeah. I mean, that is a real competitive division. And then, you know, in the East, with what the Mets did, that, and you know, they've lived up to what they're supposed to be. The Phillies are right there with them. And the Braves, after a really rough start, seem to have gotten it back together now. That's, what, three in the East, four in the West, at least one in the Central. That's like eight teams. There's only going to be room for six in the end to make the playoffs. So that wild card race could be pretty fascinating when it comes down to it, because, you know, it may not be that year where, hey, if you hang around 500, you're in the race. You might need to be approaching 90, even the topping 90 wins to get in this year.
Dude, right now there's 10 teams 500 or better in the NL, which is crazy. Now, some of that, I honestly think, is because the Rockies are so god-awful that everybody's beating their ass. The Rockies are 8-38. Is that the worst team you've ever seen?
It's embarrassing. Yeah, I mean, I saw the White Sox last year when they set the record with over 120 losses, and we saw the Rockies last month, and they did take one out of three from the Nats, but that looks like a hopeless situation. And, you know, it's one thing to lose a whole lot of games, and at least you have a plan in place. Say, okay, we're going young. We're going to take our lumps now, but we feel like it's going to pay off in a couple of years. I'm not sure the Rockies have that plan. Nobody's entirely sure what they're doing. They had that bizarre offseason a couple winters ago. They trade Nolan Arenado and eat a lot of the money to the Cardinals, even though he's in the prime of his career, and then turn around and sign Chris Bryant to replace him. And Bryant's been hurt almost the whole time, hasn't done anything to them, costing them a ton of money. It's always tough to pitch in Colorado, so they've never quite figured out how do you win with pitching. It's pretty ugly, and yet they draw well at Coors Field. It's a beautiful ballpark. The weather's usually really nice, and I just wonder if ownership looks at it and says, well, who cares if we're not winning, if we're making money because we get $30,000 a game. That's a tough spot to be in, but that is really ugly there. And Bud Black, who's a good, well-respected manager and survived there for quite a while, it wasn't his fault. He's probably relieved, to be honest, that he was fired early on in the year, because he doesn't deserve to have to go through what they're going through this year.
Yeah, I mean, that is a remarkably bad record through 45 games or whatever. Mark, thank you very much for the time, dude. I appreciate it.
All right, take care, JP.
We'll be watching tomorrow night. That's Mark Zuckerman. Check him out at massinsports.com. Check out the Nats Chat podcast, or give him a follow at Mark Zuckerman, Zuckerman. Great reporter. Been on the Nats beat, I believe, from day one. Levon Hernandez throwing out the first pitch at RFK, and is also just a great dude. Nobody go anywhere. We're checking in on the Tush Push. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. If you missed any of our conversation with Mark Zuckerman, get on the Odyssey app or head to Spotify, wherever you get podcasts. It was Zuck's the best, and it was cool just to talk a little just baseball all over with him. Definitely good for the bigs when the Cubs are good. Wrigley's such a special place. AL East is top heavy too. The Yanks and the Red Sox are good. Orioles are not, which is kind of painful. I believe, though, pop quiz for everybody.
I don't know off the top of my head right now.
That's why I started with you, pal. Why, Brian, do you know? I think Landfill will know. Landfill's a low-key C-med.
I think it's my guys tied with the Dodgers.
Hold on. Your guys are the Dodgers?
The Mets are tied with the Dodgers. I can't speak.
Okay. Professor Landini?
My guess was going to be the Dodgers, but I don't know.
So, White Brian's Mets are, in fact, tied with the Dodgers for the best record in the National League. You know who's got the best record in the AL? The best record in baseball? The Detroit Tigers. Good for them, man. Shout out to Mike Klotz, wherever you may be. I lived with this kid for a while. He was a massive Tigers fan. Two pieces of NFL news that I find interesting and relevant. Nick Sirianni, contract extension, Philadelphia Eagles. Dude just won the Super Bowl. Hell yeah, he got his contract extension. His deal was set to expire. You're not having the Super Bowl champ in a lame duck year. It was only 2 years ago he was a head coach. They got to the Super Bowl and lost. I mean, his record as a head coach is 48-20. He wins 70% of his games. He's got a 6-3 playoff record with two Super Bowl appearances and a Super Bowl ring. And yet, last season, 2023, a whole bunch of people finished 11-6. Let's try to remind our brains, okay? So last year, the Eagles, it was a big matchup. I thought it was Sunday night, but maybe it was the afternoon game. The Eagles beat the Bills in overtime to get to 10-1. The week before, they went to Kansas City and beat the Chiefs. They were 10-1. Then the Niners came to town and beat the hell out of Philly. Early December. They went on to lose five of their last six, including bad losses. Giants, the Cardinals, bad losses. And then they got stomped in the playoffs by the Bucks. This was only a year ago, folks. I'm not making this up. Does anybody remember? They went down to Tampa, first round, wild card weekend, and got their ass kicked 32-9. And everybody's like, and Sirianni, weirdly emotional. A lot of fighting on that team. Nobody knows if he has control. Dude, then the Eagles open with the Brazil win over the Packers. Then they lose to the Falcons at home. Remember, Kirk has that crazy drive late in that game? That was before the Kirk injury stuff. Who knows what was real? They barely beat the Saints. Barely. 15-12. Then they lose to the Bucks. Have a bye week. Then there was that game against the Browns, where Sirianni was yelling at a fan on the sideline. They barely beat the Browns 20-16. Sirianni brings his kids into the postgame presser. And, like, I bet if you did a poll on WIP, or if we could pull the WIP archives from that day, October 14th, the day after they're 3-2 and barely beat the Browns at home, I bet those callers wanted Sirianni gone. Now, what happened? They went on to win 13 straight or something. They were 3-2. They got to 12-2 before they lost to Washington here when Jaden was just incredible down the stretch. They had the great come from behind win. Crowder catches that. I think Crowder caught the game winner against Philly with like 4 seconds left or something. And then they obviously went on to win the Super Bowl. Sirianni's a wild ride. Clearly, he's an emotional guy. It's working. They had to give him the deal. They had to extend him. For me, I feel like that's Howie Roseman's team. And as long as he's there, you know, you're in pretty good shape. When you have a ton of talent, it tends to work out pretty well. It's an interesting time in the NFC East, knowing that Philly just is so good. I mean, Eagles have now won 2 Super Bowls in the last 10 years, been to 3. Is that right? Pretty damn good. Good time to be a Philadelphia fan, I suppose, unless you like the Sixers. The other kind of big piece of NFL news is this Brock Purdy contract. Purdy got paid, and good for him. I think you could certainly make the case Purdy deserved it. And it's also just the quarterback market is nuts and it costs a lot. So Purdy got 6 years, $245. Is that correct? I mean, that is a ton of money, $53 million. For Brock Purdy. Shout out to Brock Purdy.
Shout out to his agent.
Yeah. Not a bad day for that guy.
I mean, that's such a terrible contract.
Also, interestingly, I think, Purdy got a no-trade clause. Kyle Shanahan seems like the type that likes to date his quarterbacks and not necessarily marry them. You know what I mean? So Purdy's deal with the 53 mil AAV, not even top five in average annual value. Dak is at 60. Let that sink in. Dak is at 60. Burrow at 55. Allen at 55. Jordan Love at 55. Trevor Lawrence at 55. And now Brock Purdy tipping the scales at 53. Are we sure Brock Purdy's all that good?
So much of that money.
Pick one. Who would you rather have? Purdy, Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence?
I mean, I'd probably take Jordan Love. It's really only between Trevor Lawrence and Jordan Love. I mean, Brock Purdy doesn't even enter the equation.
Would you take Trevor Lawrence ahead of Purdy?
Yeah. I'd take Jameis ahead of Purdy.
Jameis Winston?
I think I might take at least two,
That was a little nuts.
I'd take at least two, if not three, quarterbacks on the New York Giants ahead of Brock Purdy. I mean, you're paying Brock Purdy $53 million a year. If Kyle Shanahan was not that guy's play caller, offensive guru, if you plop him down on any other team in the NFL, the guy gets benched. He's like slightly better Gardner Minshew, but he has, you know, offensive Jesus for his play caller, so he makes him look decent. It's the same thing that they did with Jimmy Garoppolo for all those years. They turned him into a respectable NFL quarterback, and then as soon as he left, he's done. They're not going to win anything with Brock Purdy. I mean, congrats. The dude got paid. Enjoy it.
Wasn't he the Super Bowl and the quarterback? Wasn't he the quarterback in the Super Bowl 2 years ago?
Yeah, notice they didn't win that game.
They did not.
If they had a better quarterback, though, they would have.
I don't know. That's a lot of money for Brock Purdy. Does Brock Purdy... And some of this is just, that's when your number comes up, it's your number, and you get rich. But, like...
If Purdy gets $53 million a year, Jaden should ask for $106.
Dude, I think we had J.I. Halsell on last month or something, and he said Jaden's going to be the first $100 million quarterback. Jaden's deal is 2 years away.
Right.
By then... They'll probably have to redo like Lamar, redo Burrow. Pat's deal, Mahomes' deal always seems kind of funky. Stop. Just legit yell stop. When I get to a quarterback, you think Purdy's better than Burrow, Goff, Mayfield, Lamar, Mahomes, Herbert. Josh Allen, Jaden Daniels, Jordan Love, Jalen Hurts, CJ Stroud, Matt Stafford, Bo Nix.
Stop.
We got pretty far down.
Brian's just mad because Bo Nix left Auburn. That opinion doesn't count.
Bo Nix is better, or Bo Nix is not better than Brock Purdy.
Dak Prescott. Dude, how many people did I name?
Most of the league. Yeah.
Wow. And think about the talent they had to lose to get that deal done for Purdy. Listen, if you're going to play in Texas, you better have a fiddle in the band. If you're going to bay your quarterback, you better be sure he's the right guy. Paul Schwartz joins us at 1:00.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.